I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time.
Everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. I think we've got an exciting show in store for you this evening, jam-packed with information. We're going to be talking a bit about reincarnation. We'll be covering how to maximize your spiritual growth, including the technique of meditation. We'll also be getting into an update on the current alien invasion of humanity. And before we get into all that, I'd like to kick off the program in the usual manner by having a little bit of japa yoga or mantra repetition, and that'll be led by Sri Swami Satchidananda. So if the guys in the booth would play that short clip now, that would be much appreciated.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om 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 Hari
Hari Hari Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari Hari
Om. Hari Om. Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om.
Hari Om. Hari 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 Om. Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om
Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om
Hari 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 Om. Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
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 Om Hari 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 Om.
Hari
Om Hari 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 Om.
Om
Hari 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 Om.
Om
Hari Om Hari Om.
Om
Hari Om Hari Om.
Om
Hari 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 Om.
Om
Hari Om Hari Om.
Om
Hari 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 Om.
Hari
Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om,
Hari Om, Hari Hari Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om,
Hari Hari Om.
Yes, that was Sri Swami Sachidananda, founder of the Integral Yoga Institutes, one of my spiritual teachers, and that was a clip from back in the 1970s. I'd like to now express my appreciation and gratitude to the ET Yoga listening audience. Much appreciate your support. And also, if you have questions concerning anything that's brought up on this program, you can always email me at paperfungo, P-A-P-E-R-F-U-N-G-O, paperfungo at yahoo.ca. And I'm very interested in hearing from ET Yoga listeners concerning program content, and nothing makes my day more than hearing about your successes by utilizing ideas, concepts, or techniques that you pick up on this program. I'd like to now give my usual disclaimer that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET Yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET Yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. And if you're a new listener to ET Yoga, you should also know that I applaud your efforts to distance yourself from mainstream medical, big pharma, mainstream media, and technology as much as humanly possible. Now, in preparing for tonight's program, I came across some interesting information related to reincarnation. And I guess because decades ago, when I had my first experience in Nirvikalpa Samadhi, I got confirmation that in point of fact, this reincarnation is a process that takes place so that one can maintain their consciousness from one lifetime to another along the path of ultimately achieving self-realization or enlightenment, or what I like to coin as consciousness completion. And so from that time on, I pretty much, you see the world the way you see the world, and I pretty much, you know, assume most people are aware of the concept and believe in reincarnation. In fact, most of the world does. But in North America, it looks like the percentage has stayed pretty much the way it was decades ago, which is why I'm bringing up this subject, because I think it's very important to understand the process of reincarnation. And apparently only 25% of North Americans believe in reincarnation. And to me, this is a big handicap, because it really prevents you from seeing the big picture of carrying over your consciousness from one lifetime to the next. It also deprives you of your extraterrestrial heritage. In my world, for me, humanity comes from the Lyra star constellation and Vega star system. And our ancestry goes way back to then. So you're basically, you know, without an extraterrestrial heritage if you don't think that you had lifetimes previously. In fact, the first time that you're born in this universe, that's your star family. And most of the people that are living on the Earth right now have had experiences in the Pleiades, in Andromeda, Sirius, Arcturian, backgrounds that are just absolutely amazing. And I highly suggest you check out this subject. And if you happen to be more involved with Christian thinking, I want to share with you some information from Paramahansa Yogananda and his classic book, Autobiography of a Yogi. And here he states that the early Christian church accepted the doctrine of reincarnation, which was expounded by the Gnostics and by numerous church fathers, including Clement of Alexandria, the celebrated Origen, both 3rd century, and St. Jerome, 5th century. The doctrine was first declared a heresy in A.D. 553 by the Second Council of Constantinople. At that time, many Christians thought the doctrine of reincarnation afforded man too ample a stage of time and space to encourage him to strive for immediate salvation. But truth suppressed lead disconcertingly to a host of errors. The millions have not utilized their one lifetime to seek God, but to enjoy this world, so uniquely won and so shortly to be forever lost. The truth is that man reincarnates on earth until he has consciously regained his status as the Son of God. And that's a direct quote from Paramahansa Yogananda. So we can see that basically even early Christianity accepted this doctrine. And to kind of prove it to yourself, I also highly suggest you can connect with the QHHT, past life regression, that you can receive from these trainers of the late Dolores Cannon. Now, Dolores Cannon used to have a show on BBS Radio, and she's definitely one of the pioneers in developing past life regression to the point of connecting with your higher self. And so for those who are interested and not just want to take somebody else's word for the fact that reincarnation is a fact, how about explore your own past lives? I'd like to now move on to the next section of tonight's program, which will be about maximizing your spiritual growth, and also how this connects to meditation. And I know of all the questions that I've been asked over the years, the most frequent one is how to do meditation. And I know a lot of people would like to begin that process, but either feel they don't have the time or don't have the proper technique. So I hope that the following information will be useful. The starting point to me on a spiritual journey really begins when the seed is planted. This means when the individual realizes that there is an eternal energy that is possible to connect with and eventually become one with. And this has been called enlightenment, nirvana, cosmic consciousness, God, etc. The infinite has no name or form, so it becomes whatever our personal mind can conceive. Baba Ram Dass said that there were two prerequisites to realize this possibility. First, a falling away of worldliness, and second, sincerity. Swami Satchidananda has said that if you take a cup to the ocean, it takes the shape of the cup. And the ultimate question becomes, who am I? Ultimately, we realize that we are that higher energy or higher self. There is no one way to attain this state, although many techniques can be useful in the process of consciousness expansion. Ram Dass would say that the teacher appears when the student is ready, and that there is always a next message if we can see it. And Sri Ramana Maharshi used to teach the Vichara, and I share this technique at the end of every program, and this was the path of self-inquiry. The thought I is placed in the center of the forehead, and then the saying of, I'm not my body, I'm not my internal organs, I'm not my thoughts, I'm not this spot, what spot? And this teaching was only given to advanced disciples and leads to the ultimate experience. And Swami Satchidananda would also say that the highest philosophy is that which neither the speaker nor the listener truly understands. There are a few basic concepts that are similar to virtually all paths. One is that a moral foundation is necessary. In yoga, these concepts are called yamas and niyamas. And these are virtually the same as the Ten Commandments. Keeping your peace is another very important principle. If you lose your peace, you will not be of any use to yourself or others. In the West, the word yoga generally means all the physical postures, but the word yoga actually means union of the self with the higher self. Bashar has said that no matter the techniques, only minimal results can be expected without a feeling of true self-value, of being loved and deserving. And Swamiji has even said that all the yoga practices are like soap that cleans the mirror to the soul. No matter where you go, the only person you ever hang out with is you. Another key concept is that of non-attachment. It means to be truly involved but not attached or creating tension. All tension has as its source an element of selfishness. In the integral yoga system, there is a specific combination of methods designed to develop every aspect of the individual, physical, emotional, intellectual, and spiritual. These methods are hatha yoga, bodily postures, asanas, and deep relaxation, breath control, pranayama, cleansing processes, the kriyas, and mental concentration, creating a supple and relaxed body, increased vitality, radiant health, and help in curing physical illness. Karma yoga, the path of action through selfless service. By performing duty without attachment or desire for the results of an action, the karma yogi purifies his mind. Bhakti yoga. This is the path of love and devotion to God, a divine incarnation, or a spiritual teacher. By constant love, thought, and service to the divine, the individual transcends his limited personality and attains cosmic consciousness. Paramahansa Yogananda comes to mind as the ultimate bhakti yogi. It is kind of like in baseball. If you're a hitter, you can be a thinking hitter and look for the ball in zones, or guess on certain kinds of pitches, or you can just go up and look for the ball and hit it. Ram Dass was love, serve, and remember. Most of us have a style or a strength in these various yogas. The next I'll mention is Raja Yoga. This is the path of meditation and control of the mind. It is based on ethical and moral perfection and control of the senses, which leads to concentration and meditation by which the mind can be stilled from its thoughts. Then all limitations are transcended and the state of samadhi or superconsciousness is experienced. Japa Yoga. Japa is part of Raja Yoga. Japa means the repetition of a mantra. A mantra is a sound structure of one or more syllables, which represents a particular aspect of the divine vibration. Concentrated mental repetition of the mantra produces vibrations within the individual's entire system that are in tune with the divine vibration. Jnana Yoga. This is the path of wisdom. It consists of self-analysis and awareness. The Jnana Yogi gains knowledge of the self by ceasing to identify himself with the body, mind, and ego. He completely identifies with the divinity within him and everything and realizes the oneness. Integral yoga, which was the path of Sri Swami Satchidananda, is a synthesis of all yogas. The goal is a body of perfect health and strength, mind with all clarity, calmness and control, intellect as sharp as a razor, will of steel, heart full of love and mercy, a life dedicated to the common welfare and realization of the true self. And I might add that this information is like page one of an ebook that I have on my website, and it's that etyoga.com. At etyoga.com, if you go on the opening page and then you go, there's some signals on the left side of the page, such as shop. And shop includes the products that I have there, including my latest book, which is ET Yoga 2012 and Beyond, The True Nature of Reality. And I highly recommend that you avail yourself of this material. And I'm going to continue with meditation as taught by Sri Swami Satchidananda. Meditation begins with concentration, trying to focus your mind on only one point. I say only one point because that point can vary to suit the taste, temperament, habit, and faith of the individual. One approach is that of self-analysis. Watch the mind and ask yourself, whose thoughts are these? Who is worried? Who is troubled? Who is disturbed? Who am I then? How do I know all these things? My knowing doesn't seem to become disturbed when I know that I am disturbed. The process then is to identify with the knower and not with the disturbances in the mind. This is direct analysis. Or just be still and watch. Just be quiet and watch what is happening in the mind and body. Sitting and watching your thoughts and breath movements. Just become aware of the subtle movements. Just become aware of the subtle movements within you. An indirect means is to take yourself to be the mind. I am disturbed because I am having all kinds of wants. I want this, I want that. Let me resign from everything. Let me offer everything to humanity or to God. You pray, God, take away these disturbances. Give me happiness. Give me peace. Sit and pray wholeheartedly, realizing the full meaning of every word. This is also meditation. Another way is neither asking for anything nor analyzing, but just keeping the mind on one point. It can be either a sacred name, a mystic mantra, the cosmic syllable Om or Amen, Om Shanti, Hari Om, etc., or it can be on a form. There is no particular form of God. You can approach him through any form you wish. If you concentrate on a physical, concrete form, after a time you can create a mental picture of it, Lord Jesus, Lord Buddha, Shiva, or Krishna. Or if you do not want a particular human form to worship the Lord through, have the visual image of the sun, the moon, the stars. You can see him. You can approach him in any way or form you like because he is present everywhere in every form. And I want to now focus a little bit about meditation with mantra. Because meditation with mantra focuses the mind and makes it one-pointed and leads it into meditation. Practicing with mantra is a simple but very efficient and direct approach. Om is the basic vibration. It vibrates every cell in your body and brings peace. Hari Om is a very powerful mantra. Om creates a special rhythm in your system. You are sent into an ecstatic mood just by chanting Om. Of course, when you add Hari, pronounced as the ho in hot and re as in repeat, you get an added effect. Hari is another name for the absolute. It means one that removes all obstacles, one that purifies the entire system. Repeating the word Hari makes you do a particular type of pranayama or breathing exercise. Each syllable has its own significance. The first syllable, ha, requires a concentration of the solar plexus. It creates a kind of kapala body or bellow breathing vibration, and it ignites the vast storehouse of physical and emotive power at the solar plexus. In pronouncing re, the system relaxes and the throat contracts to make the force more concentrated. Re brings in a special kind of heat. Then for o, the throat opens and the energy or sound rises upward from deep within the chest. With a prolonged the mouth closes and the energy goes to the head with a strong humming vibration. So Hari accelerates the system first, and the Om takes you to a higher level. Repeat Hari Om in a monotone for as long as you feel comfortable. You can vary the pitch, speed, and intensity according to the condition of the mind, and eventually let the voice flow into silent repetition. After some time, just sit quietly and see how you are and what you feel. So again, and this is also information that's included, including whole sets of pranayams for breathing exercises that are in my ebooks, and they're available at etyoga.com. I'd like to now move on to some other topics, and one of those is sort of the update on the alien invasion, and of course, I'm referring to the AI and Draco invasion that's occurring right now on the planet through the vaccine and, as it turns out, the testing agenda. because what the ultimate goal here is to implant enough nanoparticles in our bodies and in our minds, in our brain, in order to be able to have these nanoparticles, which act like smart dust, which can act as receivers and transmitters, and basically to create a frequency control operated through the 5G systems and making humanity like a Borg or hive mind and totally controlled. And this is a takeover of an alien. Of all these lockdowns and taking away our personal freedoms and messing with your breathing system with the mask, this is all part and parcel of the alien takeover. And I recently noticed an article at Rents.com. It said that the test is the same as getting the vaccine. And I highly suggest you look at this because it's not just an article, it's a video. And in this video, it takes apart, especially the long swabbed testing procedure, which has nanoparticles in it, also has Morgellons fibers, and even a high technology that produces a holographic chip. And they try to implant this either into your pineal or into your, near your brain barrier. It's basically the same as the vaccine, and I really think that our listening audience to ET Yoga, you need to see this video to see for yourself what this technology is, and to not go for this type of testing either. I think this is really highly important at this time. I might also add that the ascension process is in full swing, and I highly recommend that you go to Solara on Ra, S-O-L-A-R-A-A-N-R-A, Solara on Ra at YouTube. And she has some amazing short videos, and some maybe a half an hour, but one in particular, it's 11 minutes long. It helps you connect with the Ascension Grid and others who are involved in this process so that you're sending golden energy to everyone that's connecting with the grid, and they're sending energy to you. So the activation of the Ascension Grid is in full play. And to me, this is the main focus of attention because... clearly, we're headed for some sort of time split coming up down the road. And as Bashar would say, there's going to be the split will include one path that leads to freedom and ascension, and the other path leads to transhumanism and tyranny. And so I highly suggest that, especially if you think you're Pleiadian, to get in past the lifetimes, especially to get connected with this, these meditations that connect you with the Ascension Grid and those interested in the Ascension process. Actually, it was a couple years ago that Bashar came out with some very interesting information concerning Beethoven and his having been a download from higher consciousness. And in his Seventh Symphony, Second Movement, this particular music is of the appropriate vibration to allow you to be in the proper state to attract whatever information, healing, situation, people, or opportunities that you require. It also deals with the process of letting go and forgiving the self and letting go of grief and regret. And this will allow you to let go of all those things, thereby allowing you to work with your vibration and in this way forgiving yourself and thereby becoming more whole. And in these chords are exactly, precisely what will tap you into the idea of your letting go of the past and sorrows and griefs and regrets and the forgiving of yourself and others. And they're moving you toward the vibration that will attract you to whatever interactions are relevant to your experience. And so I highly recommend that you go on YouTube again. And there's actually even half-hour segments of this Seventh Symphony Second Movement. It's only about maybe 10 minutes at most. And you can actually see some loops of this on YouTube, so you can play it at night or play it for an hour. And this is a very useful tool. In fact, Dolores Cannon has mentioned that the two of the key things that you can do to help in the ascension process is to not be in fear, and second, to let go of the past. And so here we have a tool from an extraterrestrial that's telling you that this has been downloaded in this Beethoven symphony. So that's Beethoven's Seventh Symphony, Second Movement, and a really cool technique to assist in this process, because I know all of us, well, most everybody anyway, can use a little bit of help in letting go of the past. And keeps getting in the way, and it creates an emotional baggage when you're talking about ascending to the 5D. And speaking of 5D, I'll always recommend, if you don't know about Andara crystals, that's A-N-D-A-R-A, get yourself an Andara crystal. Andara crystals are monatomics, come from monatomic fields, which is, they're interdimensional, and they actually vibrate in 5D. So their vibration is huge to have, and it's very, I'd say it's a really positive thing to try and keep one in your auric field. I'd also like to mention the fact that related to this, a lot of this, these vaccines that are coming out, I've mentioned a few times that in my opinion, they were in violation of the Nuremberg Code. And basically they are, because in point of fact, they're not even vaccines. They don't prevent anything. They don't protect you from anything. They don't even fit the definition of a vaccine. I think that possibly they're hiding behind using the word vaccine so that they don't have any liability for all the side effects. And by the way, just for my own curiosity, I looked up the Nuremberg Code. And I'm going to share that quickly with the ET Yoga audience. Number one of the, and most important, is this is supposed to be voluntary informed consent. Voluntary informed consent means that there should never be any mandatory experiments on the population. Two, fruitful results for the good of society. Three, prior experimentation on animals and prior knowledge of the problems. And as we all know, experimentation on animals was waived. And from what, as I understand it, from a couple of different scientists, pretty much all the animals died when they tried these vaccines on them. So no doubt they waived experimentation. Number four, avoidance of unnecessary physical or mental injury. Well, I think we can look around and see plenty of physical and mental injury. Five, the banning of known lethal or disable procedures. Yeah, well, people are dying from this, so is that not lethal? Six, degree of risk should exceed benefits. Seven, proper proportion and proper facilities to prevent injury or death. Eight, performance of experiments only by scientifically qualified persons. Nine, participants may freely end the experiment. And 10, the experiments must stop if it proves too dangerous. And those were the conclusions and the basis of the Nuremberg Code. Thought I wanted to just share that with our audience. I'd like to now talk a little bit about the Mandela Effect, because I have some specific videos that I can point you to that I think will be very interesting. And one of those is I found the old Earth. That's Mandela Effect. And I just did a regular search on that on I use Yahoo Canada for a search engine, but I just typed in I found the old Earth, and it's a very interesting video because it shows, in my opinion, what people from that the old Earth, how they remember specifically the different continents and their locations. And he also talks a little bit about the place of the Earth in the Milky Way galaxy. And there's also, for those that are old enough to remember Carl Sagan, who was one of the more visible science people, especially in astronomy. And he has, you can look also and search and find his video and lecture on our place in the universe, which clearly shows the Earth at the outskirts of the Milky Way galaxy. But if you look and check out our actual location in the Milky Way galaxy, you'll see that we're near the center, on one of the arms, but about 100 million light years away from the old Earth. And this is part of what's commonly called the Mandela Effect. Now, the speaker in the first videos, I found the old Earth, he thinks that the location is blocked by the central core of the Milky Way galaxy, and that the two planets still exist, kind of like one particle split into two, that when you affect one, it affects the other. Personally, I don't buy that theory. I'm with the Adranus theory, and Adranus is from Sirius, and Adranus states that the Mandela Effect occurs because there's been an amalgamation of two timelines, one being the dominant one, and the dominant one is the one that, for the most part, people accept as current information. But there are remnants of the old timeline here. And these two videos are proof because it shows, for example, South America underneath North America, and the current position of South America is about 1,900 miles east of these maps and globes. So it's one of those obvious ones. And, of course, the other obvious one is the location of Earth in the Milky Way galaxy. And I think that this is an important event to get a grasp on because, okay, first off, every time you look up Mandela Effect, what you're seeing on your most of your searches on the internet, it says it's a false memory. And no, it's not false memory. Those people from the old timeline are having legitimate memories of how they remembered things. And it's not a false memory. And in this timeline, it appears the situations are different. And for the people that are born in this timeline, there really is no Mandela Effect. The Mandela Effect involves people that were moved from the old timeline to this timeline or merged with it. And a really interesting question that arises from this is why were some of the population moved in this way? And my explanation for that is, and as well as that of Cosmic Awareness, by the way, which is another a channeling that's done by a group, and it's called Cosmic Awareness. And I agree with the premise that some of the people were moved into this amalgamated timelines because the old timeline ended, and it ended in quite a catastrophe. And it did spare the people the memories of that, as well as I believe that these people, most of the people who experience the Mandela Effect are tend to be more spiritual in nature. And I think they're here to raise the frequency of this timeline as well as provide a vehicle for them to be involved in the ascension process. So to me, this is like huge. And not only is it huge from that perspective, but it's also huge from the perspective that as there was an amalgamation of timelines to create the Mandela effect, there will also be a split in timelines, which a certain portion of the population will ascend to the new Earth 5D reality. And interesting that Dolores Cannon's name has come up a few times in this program, because I've seen videos of Dolores Cannon presenting her take on new Earth, and she views it kind of like cellular division, and that's the image that I used to get as well, that the Earth kind of splits, and of course the two dimensions, 3D and 5D, are not of the same frequency, so thus the difference, and at whatever point that occurs, similar in effect to the some people's religious beliefs, but clearly a different type of ascension than postulated by those in religious circles. So I'd like to at least give people food for thought to ponder the connection here between the Mandela effect and ascension. And over the course of time in the yoga journey, I think I've read, there's actually Ram Dass came out with his book, Be Here Now, Now Be Here. It came out way back. And at the back of the book, he had a reading list of 100 books that were written by people who were seriously working on themselves or who he considered to be enlightened. And I think on that list, I read about 97 of those books way back in the day when I thought reading was paramount. And I used to have a knack for going into a library and picking out books that were unknowingly on that list. Seemed to always have a nose for the truth as I perceive it anyway. And I highly recommend a couple of books that I have right in front of me. And one is The Autobiography of a Yogi. To me, that's a classic yoga text. And by the way, I did take a couple years courses from Self-Realization Fellowship. And so I also saw Paramahansa Yogananda as one of my key spiritual teachers, as well as Sri Ramana Maharshi. And Sri Ramana Maharshi is considered by most to be like, definitely self-realized. He has a book out, The Path of Self-Knowledge. And if you've had the experience of Nirvikalpa Samadhi, you'll know that his experience is valid. And that reminds me of a psychological technique that can be useful at times. And that has to do with four guys sitting at a table saying that they had been to this secret gold mine. Well, actually, two of them actually had been to the secret gold mine, but two of them were just faking it. And after a while, although there was no physical proof that two of them were faking it, the two that had been to the gold mine through certain questions and experiences about what it was like there knew that they were the two legitimate ones, and they knew the other two were faking. And, of course, the two that are faking, they're just in the dark. So I call this psychological proof. And I'm relating this to the experience that Sri Ramana Maharshi had. He was one of those souls that didn't need he didn't have an awakening and then go through a spiritual journey to attain enlightenment. What happened with him was he was such a ripe soul that when he asked the question, who am I, he realized it and stayed there. So that's the journey of Sri Ramana Maharshi. Now, in modern day, there's another spiritual teacher. His name is Muji, M-O-O-J-I. And Muji has two spiritual teachers that he reveres. And one is Papaji, and the other is Sri Ramana Maharshi. And I highly recommend you check out Muji as well. Muji's got some wonderful videos out of, he just does satsang, you know, like there's 200 people around, and he answers their questions and goes deep into pretty much any issues they have, and it's a wonderful knack of taking this energy and moving it out into the beyond. And so I highly recommend you check out Muji. Another book that, and it's free on the internet, if you've never read Bringers of the Dawn, I mean, this is the classic text to read concerning extraterrestrials, Pleiadians. There's so much information there that was all brought out in the 1970s and when this book came out. And Bringers of the Dawn is available free online, so you can find it. And there's even videos of Bringers of the Dawn. So highly recommend those two books in particular. And in point of fact, it was during the 1970s that Gene Roberts came out with the Seth material, and the Seth material was foreshadowing what modern science is proving today. Not only the Seth material, but Bringers of the Dawn, as well as Bashar, back in the 1970s, were all talking about how thought creates and belief creates. And I consider the concept that thought creates and belief creates kind of the second stone in the ET yoga structure. The core is its self-realization, because everything, I try to relate everything to a spiritual journey that leads to self-realization. The next, to me, most important concept is belief, because what they're showing is, science is showing now, that the universe is holographic and fractal, and it's made of consciousness, and it operates like a giant reality computer program, and like any computer program, it has a language of interpretation. And the language of interpretation of the universe is belief. So what, in short terms, what you believe is. And this is most easily reflected in the concept of the placebo effect. And the placebo effect in medicine, I think we all know about how, you know, a sugar pill can have similar effects as the real thing, supposedly real thing. Anyway, the bottom line here is that the placebo effect does not only work in medicine, it works in every area of your life. It's 'cause, and why does the placebo effect work anyway? Because you believe it. That's it. And there's been experiments done where people were operated on and weren't, and they thought they were. And they were just, and the military has done experiments on this too, and it's just incredible, some of the research. If you get into placebo effect and the effect of belief and the power of belief, it's just, it is incredible, but it's not promoted in our society because our society is not geared toward us attaining autonomy or our own power. Our society is set up to give our power away. We delegate our spiritual life to the church, or our education is responsible for our schooling. The medical is responsible for our health, this, that, and the other thing. And for the most part, in our society, we've delegated all our power all over the place. And in my opinion, if you take a light and shine it on your mind and look at all the places where you give your power, that's where you're being abused, including government. Okay, you give your power to government, you'll get abused. And the bottom line here is that you need to take your power back and be as self-sufficient and autonomous and self-empowered as possible. This is the path toward freedom and the path toward higher consciousness. And as Bashar would say, there's only two objective facts in the universe. There isn't even an objective reality, okay? There is no objective reality. Reality is what you believe it is. And there are no limitations necessarily. We've learned to buy into limitations. And the only two objective facts in the universe is that the universe was created from unconditional love and that we have awareness. And it's just that awareness that is one of the two objective facts. I'd like to now wish my listening audience my sincere best towards your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, abundance, and success in ascension. And at this time, I'd like to share with you the Who Am I technique, where you get to the highest place you know how to get to and become that spot in the center of your forehead. And when you think you've achieved becoming that spot, you can ask the question, who am I? And you can play with this. You can just say it once, or you can say it 100 times, or get a feel for it. Because when you ask a question, the universe always provides an answer to the question if you can hear it. And there's not really an answer to this question. It's an experience. And the idea here is to place all your attention and become that spot in the center of your forehead, and then you state the following to yourself. I am not my body. I am not my internal organs. I am not my thoughts. I am not this spot. What spot?
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all things.